When it comes to marijuana, Maine has historically been on the permissive side. It was one of the first states to decriminalize penalties for possession back in the 1970s, and one of the first to authorize the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. 3 years ago, Portland became the first city on the East Coast to legalize recreational use for adults. This fall, voters statewide are being asked to follow Portland's lead. Passage of Question 1 on the ballot would establish a framework to distribute, tax, and regulate the sale of marijuana and marijuana products. All this week, we are undertaking a closer look at the issue with a series of reports called High Stakes: How Legalizing Pot Could Affect Maine. Today, in Part 1, Steve Missler examines how Maine might look to Colorado's experience for guidance.
So, are you here for the recreational?
I am.
Colorado residents and tourists first went shopping for legal pot 2 years ago, on New Year's Day. They flooded shops like Northern Lights Cannabis Company, one of five retail stores in Edgewater, a small city located just west of Denver. This man has already bought a half ounce of a strain called Apollo 11.
Did you want to see anything else?
Yeah, I was also interested in Kaboom.
Okay.
Kaboom is a featured strain at Northern Lights. It's described as fast-paced, perfect to get things done. At first glance, Kaboom seems like the perfect metaphor for the Colorado cannabis industry. Marijuana sales exploded to nearly $1 billion last year, an increase of more than 40% from 2 years ago. The state collected $135 million in taxes and fees, much of it earmarked for school projects. And the combined local tax revenue from pot businesses like Northern Lights is helping to get things done, including a $7 million civic center. But it wasn't an instant success.
This is not like a light switch. You don't just decide to turn a system on kind of this magnitude without a lot of really critical thought of how you're going to do it.
Andrew Friedman was appointed as Colorado's pot czar by Governor John Hickenlooper. His job is to help agencies coordinate the state's implementation of the legalization law. Friedman is 33 years old. He says he neither expected nor sought this job. But that, from Hickenlooper's perspective, made Friedman the right choice. Colorado needed a fresh face, someone who could bring together the warring factions and help construct a $30 million regulatory apparatus.
There's a whole bunch of people who've wanted this for a long time and really have gone to war with the other side and don't trust them still.
It was a massive effort, one Friedman compared to building an airplane while it's still flying. There's been turbulence. 3 months after retail sales began in Colorado, the Denver Post reported some retailers' edible marijuana products did not contain the amount of THC advertised on the package. Some people got sick, others got ripped off, but there were few consequences. That's because adequate product testing and penalties against manufacturers hadn't been fully implemented.
We truly had no guidelines to do this, no roadmap to go from. It was, I think, the rarest thing to happen in state government is to truly be creating something from scratch.
The state's legislature scrambled to keep up. It's passed dozens of bills to fill the gaps or fix problems not considered by the citizen-initiated law. Maine will need to create a similar regulatory system, also from scratch. But David Boyer, who manages the legalization campaign here, says the cost will bring a significant return on investment.
Revenue has exceeded expectations in Colorado, right? So this is millions and millions of dollars that Maine is flushing down the drain. It's here. It's just not going to the state. It's not going to the legitimate businesses.
The campaign's political director, Alicia Melnick, says taxing marijuana sales should more than pay for the new regulatory system. In Colorado, the state collected over $135 million in taxes and fees last year, and it costs about $30 million to regulate the pot industry there. And Melnick says Maine could see other social benefits, such as freeing up police to work on problems more pressing than marijuana.
It's about reserving our criminal laws for the type of acts that actually threaten our communities.
Arrests for marijuana-related offenses have plummeted by nearly 50% since Colorado legalized pot. Possession charges dropped by nearly 90%. But unlike Maine, Colorado had never decriminalized possession charges in the first place. And pot czar Andrew Friedman says other problems have surfaced, including the emergence of a shadow market. That's where people are legally growing, but illegally selling the product out of state. It's a lucrative business, and Friedman worries that it will undercut the regulated industry.
This home grow situation really has started to get out of control, and we really are seeing kind of the criminal element come into Colorado and grow at home.
And public safety concerns remain in Colorado. 70% of the state's cities and towns have banned commercial operations by ordinance, an option that would also be open to Maine communities under Question 1. But Melnick, with the Maine campaign, says it's clear that Colorado does not have, quote, buyer's remorse. And she says people are looking west to see the future of pot. Oregon Congressman Earl Blumenauer agrees.
There's 80 million people who are going to be voting on some form of legalization this year.
Blumenauer says if more states legalize, Congress could be prompted to lift the federal prohibition. This year, Maine and Massachusetts are poised to become the first states in the Northeast to legalize recreational use. California could join the four other western states to create a legalized bloc. And Florida could join 24 other states, including Maine, that allow medicinal marijuana.
If several of them pass, which looks like the case, I think that'll be the tipping point for Congress. This is the year where the movement is cresting.
Mainers will decide whether they want to ride the wave when they go to the polls November 8th. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.